Hello and welcome to the Fossil Huntress podcast. I hope you guys are all doing really well. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Earth's first four-legged air-breathing vertebrates. So come and enjoy the show. In the late 1930s, so back in the dirty 30s and around the time of the Great Depression, our understanding of the transition of fish to tetrapods and the eventual jump to modern vertebrates, so animals with backbones, took an unexpected leap forward. That evolutionary aha moment came from a single partial fossil skull found on the shores of a riverbank in eastern Canada. That partial skull belonged to Stegocephalian Opisthostege watsoni, an extinct genus of finned tetramorphs that lived during the late Devonian, so this is around 382 million years ago. Opisthostege watsoni, and perhaps the sister taxon of all other tetrapods, was first described in 1938 by British paleontologist and elected fellow of the Royal Society of London, Thomas Stanley Westall. Westall's research interests were wide-ranging. He was a vertebrate paleontologist and geologist, best known for his innovative work on Paleozoic fishes and their relationships to tetrapods. As a specialist in early fish, Westall was asked to interpret that single partial skull roof that we discovered in the Escumenac Formation in Quebec, Canada, in eastern Canada. His findings and subsequent publication, which he called Opisthostege watsoni, helped us to better understand the evolution of fishes to tetrapods, our four-limbed vertebrates, and one of the most important transitions in vertebrate evolution. Our understanding and our hypothesis around tetrapod origins, up to that point, had relied heavily on the anatomy of but a few tetrapod-like fossil fish. So these are from the middle to late Devonian. This would be 393 to 359 million years ago. And these taxa, which we know as the Opisthosteglians, these include Opisthostege and Tiktaalik, none of which had yet to reveal the complete skeletal anatomy of a pectoral fin. That all changed back in 2010. So back in 2010, a complete 1.57, so just shy of 2 meter long, articulated specimen was found and then later described by Richard Cloutier in 2020. The specimen helped us to understand the origin of the vertebrate hand. So you and I can grip things and we have our opposable thumb and it's what separates us out from the other vertebrates. But this particular specimen showed us the beginnings, the origin of our vertebrate hands. So stripped from the encasing stone, it revealed a set of paired fins of Opisthostege containing bones similar to our finger bones, our phalanges, and of modern tetrapods. And it's the most basal tetrapodomorph known to possess them. Understanding the origin of our hands and the hands of all vertebrates is pretty darn exciting. So once the phalanges were uncovered, prep work began on the fins. So the fins were covered with wee scales, these little fin rays. And the work was tiresome, so this was prep that took about 2,700 hours of prep, but the results were thrilling. We could now clearly see that the skeleton of the pectoral fins had four proximal distal rows of radials, two of which included branched carpals, as well as two distal rows organized as digits and punitive digits. So despite this skeletal pattern, which represents the most tetrapod-like arrangement of bones found in a pectoral fin to date, so this blurs the lines between fish and land vertebrates, the fins also retained those wee fin rays. So these were just behind the radials. So this arrangement confirmed an age-old question, showing us for the first time that the origin of phalanges, our little finger bones, preceded the loss of fin rays and not the other way around. So E. watsoni is very closely related to Tiktaalik. So this is Tiktaalik rosei, which we found back in 2004 in the Canadian Arctic. And it's a tetrapodomorpha species, also known as chonata. So these were advanced forms of transitional fish to early labyrinthodonts. So we playfully refer to them as fishapods. So they're half fish, half tetrapod in appearance and in their limb morphology. So why is this exciting? Well, up to that point, the relationship of limbed vertebrates, our tetrapods, to lobed finned fish was well known, but the origin of major tetrapod features remained obscured for lack of fossils that document the sequence of evolutionary changes until Tiktaalik. So while Tiktaalik is technically a fish, this fellow is as far from fish-like as you can be and still be a card-carrying member of the group. So complete with scales and gills, this proto-fish lacked the conical head we see in modern fish, but had this rather flattened, triangular head. So picture kind of a small crocodile, kind of a small doughy crocodile with that domed, triangular front head. And Tiktaalik had scales on its back and on its fins with fin webbing, but like early land-living animals, it had a distinctive flat head and neck. So he was a brawny brute, and the shape of his skull and his shoulder looked part fish and part amphibian. So the watershed moment came as Tiktaalik was being prepped. Inside the fins, we find bones that correspond to the upper arm, forearm, and even parts of the wrist of modern vertebrates, all inside a fin with webbing. So remarkable. So its fins have thin ray bones for paddling, like most fish, but with brawny interior bones that gave Tiktaalik the ability to prop itself up. So using its limbs for support, you can imagine him laying in kind of a swampy riverbed and propping himself up on his fins. You can picture him turning his head to the side because he's got a bit of a neck-like feature and saying, "How you doing?" So 6 years after Tiktaalik was discovered by Neil Shubin and his team in the ice-covered tundra of the Canadian Arctic up on Ellesmere Island, a team working in the outcrops of Maguasha on the Gaspé Peninsula discovered the only fully specimen of E. watsoni found to date. So this greatly increased our knowledge of this finned, tantalizingly interesting transitional tetramorph. E. watsoni fossils are rare. And just how rare? This was the fourth specimen collected in over 130 years of hunting. So charmingly, the specimen was right on our doorstep. It was extracted but a few feet from the main stairs that descend down to the beach at Maguasha National Park. This area is also home to some of the first exploratory and mapping work by Canada's early Geologic Survey of Canada and the newly formed United Province of Canada. So geologists in New Brunswick in the geology branch traipsed through the rugged countryside that would become a Canadian province in 1867. And it was on one of these expeditions that the Maguasha fossil outcrops were discovered. So they too would transform in time to become the Maguasha National Park or Parc de Maguasha. But at first they were simply the promising sedimentary exposures on a hillside across the water and a treasure trove of late Devonian fauna waiting to be discovered. In the summer of 1842, Abraham Getzner, New Brunswick's first provincial geologist, crossed the northern part of the region exploring for coal. Well, mostly for coal. Gesner also had a keen eye for fossils, and his trip to the Gaspé Peninsula came fast on the heels of a jaunt along the rocky shore beaches at the head of the Bay of Fundy, and you'll know that as the fossil site where we find the standing tree fossils along the Joggins Fossil Cliffs. So passionate about geology and chemistry, he's perhaps most famous for his invention of the process to distill combustible hydrocarbon, kerosene, from coal oil, so a subject on which his long walks exploring a budding Canada gave him a great deal of time to consider. And we have Gesner to thank for the modern petroleum industry. He filed many patents for clever ways to distill soft, tar-like coal or bitumen, still in use today. So he was skilled in a broad range of scientific disciplines, being a geologist, paleontologist, physician, chemist, anatomist, and naturalist. A brass tack geek to his core. So he explored the coal exposures for the early GSE and the fossil outcrops along the famed area that witnessed the region become part of England and not France and no longer new. So following the Restigouche River in New Brunswick, picking through the Dalhousie region, Gesner navigated through the estuary to reach the southern coast of the Gaspé Peninsula, into which what would become the southeastern coast of Quebec. And he did this to get a better look at the cliffs across the water. He was the first geologist to lay eyes on the formation there and its fossils. In his 1843 report to the Geologic Survey of Canada, he wrote, "I found the shoreline with coarse conglomerate. Farther eastward, the rocks are light blue sandstones with shales containing the remains of vegetables. In these sandstones and shales, I found the remains of fish and small species of a tortoise with fossil footmarks." So we now know that that little tortoise was the famous Bothriolepis, a type of placoderm fish, and it was also the first formal mention of the Miguasha fauna in our scientific literature. So despite the circulation of his report, his discovery was all but ignored for many, many years. So the cliffs and their fossil bounty remained abandoned for decades, until geologists like Ellis and Ford and Weston and researchers like Whiteaves and Dawson, so geologists in the early GSE days, would follow in his footsteps. So over the past 180 years, this Devonian site has yielded a wonderfully diverse aquatic assemblage from the age of fishes. So five of the six fossil fish groups associated with the Devonian, including the exceptionally well-preserved fossil specimens of our lobed fin fishes. And this is exciting as the lobed fin fishes gave rise to our first four-legged, air-breathing terrestrial vertebrates, the tetrapods.